He's back from over a year-long radio hiatus.
Point one, it's time for Hugh Freeze to break out the African prayer candles.
We know how much you've missed him, Tennessee.
Point two, I couldn't name four Kenny Chesney songs I've liked since the good stuff. Hell no, you can't get back in the fan base.
So he's bringing you an all-new podcast coming straight from the heart of Knoxville.
Point three, anyone with half a damn brain saw this coming back in 2013. So you can shut the hell up.
He's the hardest working man in America that doesn't drink beer. He's looking for a woman with a good insurance policy, and you can always find him on the second floor somewhere getting shoulder rubs. His name is John Reed, and this is Reed's Ranch.
Point four, Florida, you can go to hell.
Reed's Ranch, the podcast. We're up and live. Seth Hughes, John Reed, Davis Stuttered. Seth, the streak.
What's up?
The streak's over, buddy.
It's over. It's over.
How do you feel?
I mean, it's an amazing feeling. Like I've been waiting for this since I was in the eighth grade. I mean, it's just as good as I thought it would be. It's so sad, but it's such a foreign feeling to be sitting here a month in and we're undefeated.
4-0.
Like, we don't have to play the spoiler anymore. Like, everything is right in front of us for anything that this team can possibly accomplish.
You're not looking at the schedule wondering if you can make a bowl game?
We don't need to rely on other teams to beat somebody. Like, you know, we win two out of the next three and we're playing in December for a chance to go to the college football playoff.
Got a really stupid question to start this off with. Got a private message. They wanted to remain anonymous, I think, because they know of how stupid this question is. Would you take the win? What felt better, he said, the win on Saturday or six? I mean, there's no comparison, right?
The win on Saturday.
Exactly. There's no comparison.
I mean, it's...
I mean, if you're telling me I hadn't had sex in 11 years, maybe. No sex, no masturbation for 11 years, maybe I would compare it. If you're telling me no sex for 11 years, but I can still masturbate, I'm cool. I'll take the win. I take the win every single time.
Oh, that's funny. Yeah, that's a bad question.
How did you feel inside Neyland Stadium as the clock hit zero and you just euphoria just rained down on everyone? Everyone was hugging and crying. How did you feel over where you sat?
Like, I was just trying to, like, just fully soak in what was happening.
Seth Hughes, you're a goddamn liar. You left in the second quarter. Tell everyone the truth.
I came back.
You came back?
Yes, we came back and we're in the back in the stadium with 7 minutes left.
How did you get back in?
We ran past the ushers and they chased us until we started climbing the steps and they decided it wasn't worth it.
So wait. You text me when Tennessee goes down 21-0.
Okay, so let me just tell the story.
Just tell a story.
Okay, so we're down 21-0 and we leave and we're staying at a hotel in Cedar Bluff. And we're back at the hotel before halftime's over. Okay.
Shout out to those long ass 20-minute halftimes.
Yeah. So we watch it unfold. Like, and so after Josh Malone scores on the post route to go up 31-21, Luke's like, all right, we have to go. So we sprint from the hotel to the car and do 105 on the interstate.
While we're watching
the game on the CBS Sports app. And we park somewhere in the Ford. I can't remember the street name, but it was further away than Laurel. It was like one street down from Laurel. And this, I don't even know what kind of parking lot it was. But it was like it's like 0.8 miles from Neyland, and we basically sprinted the whole way.
So Malone scores that touchdown with how much time? 12
minutes 10
minutes
left, I think it was.
10 minutes in the game?
Yeah. Yeah. And then we basically sprinted the whole way. The security guard wouldn't let us back in. And we were like, I looked at him, and I had the two tickets in my hand. He said, they can't be reused to get entrance. And I said, dude, it's been 12 years. It's been 12 years. And he said, I don't care.
Have you been drinking at all at this point?
No.
Okay.
No. And so then we go to another little portal at gate 21 because it's so big now. There's, you know, four entrances. And the usher has his back turned and we take off and just sprint. Like full throttle sprint. And the usher goes, hey, hey. And like we don't even turn around. We don't stop. We just keep on going. And then so we make it to the steps and we turn around and look, and the ushers are still coming, and we take off sprinting up the steps. We climb all 50 step or all 50 rows to the concourse above X1, and we watch it from there as we're huddled over a trash can trying not to throw up. Like in between plays, we would just lean over the trash can.
So are you dressed in sweat at this point?
Yes, dude. I was just covered in sweat. I was so nasty and so gross, but we got there with 7 minutes left. And we even got to see the Josh Dobbs touchdown because we stopped to watch it on a TV at a tailgate, saw him score, and then took off running the rest of the way.
Would you have punched the usher in the face to get in?
No, but I couldn't believe it. I was pleading with him, man. I was, and like,
at what point? What would have been the top dollar you could have bribed him with? How much would you have paid to get in?
Well, we tried. So funny you talk about bribing. When we got down to Cumberland Avenue, we saw a Papa John's driver who we didn't think he was delivering anything, like whatever. He was like coming back from the dorms, and we held him down and we're like, dude, we'll give you $20 in cash right now if you take us to the stadium. He's like, no, I'm not going to do it. And we're like, $20 cash now. He's like, no.
So who takes?
So we just take off sprinting again.
So who is the person that's taking their job more seriously than they should be? The Papa John's driver or the old ass usher that wouldn't let you in? First of all, both of those guys are assholes. Let's get that out of the way.
Absolutely, 100% assholes. But I gotta think that like there are some security concerns involved here in letting people back in. The Papa John's driver is an asshole. Dude, it's a tenth of a mile to the stadium for $20. That's better than any tip you're going to make all night for actual work completed. But also the ushers for trying to chase us down. Like, these ushers are like senior citizens. Like, they're on AARP. Like,
the best part,
they're trying
the best
to chase
part,
us down.
The best part is I think that you probably got them fired. You probably got those old-ass men fired, and you know what happens. You saw what happened with Joe Paterno. When you retire and you don't have anything to do, you die. You probably killed both of those men.
Blood is on my hands.
But it was worth it. The streak's over.
That's all that matters. Like, nobody – like, people can make fun of me for leaving, whatever. I don't care. It was justified. We came back and won. I was there to see us win. Like, I don't care. I don't feel bad about leaving. I have sat through so many ass whippings from them in my life that I was simply not going to watch them beat the shit out of us on our field again. I have too much pride. Like, I don't care. I don't care.
Have you seen my man? Have you seen my man, Jake Wallman? Did you see that video?
Yes, I saw that. I saw him. I recognized him immediately because I follow him on Twitter. And I was like,
I just kept getting
he had on your shirt.
Yeah, I was going to say, my Twitter kept getting blown up with people saying, hey, this guy's drunk and left the game and he's in your shirt.
Yeah,
at halftime, we're down 21, so all I say is legend. And then we lose. Or we come back, first of all, and then everyone's ripping him. I watched the video. I feel bad for the kid. The kid's hammered. Whoever was the journalist, the reporter,
that's
there,
an asshole,
you're an asshole. That kid is completely drunk. Don't put him on the air for cheap tricks.
Yeah, no kidding. That's messed up. But yeah, I saw him and I started laughing and like, I show it to Luke and I'm like, this dude's in one of John's shirts.
They were everywhere, baby. The ranch gang was out.
I know. So we were at a tailgate. And my friend Naveed had on one of your new shirts.
Uh-huh.
And he said, like, I didn't see this. I wasn't there yet, but we're talking about it. And he's like, yeah, somebody saw my shirt and just came up to me and asked me where John Reed was.
Buddy, they were everywhere.
Like, there's 120,000 people on that campus right now. And this dude wants to know where one person is.
Buddy, there were so many people come up want to take a picture with me. It was
great. I don't
doubt
it, dude.
They all came up and said, "Where's Seth? The podcast is great. We love it." And I said, "Thanks, guys." And then they make me do the Florida week, "You can go to hell" on Snapchat. They're out here pimping me out. Before we get to the good stuff, tell me, a texter writes in, tell me the absolute worst thought that crossed your mind when we were down 21-0.
So mine was like, I just was like, because McElwain, I'm thinking to myself, McElwain is completely schooling Butch.
Well, I mean, that screen pass that
it
went
was
up,
beautiful.
It was perfectly set up.
Oh, it was beautiful. It was erotic. It was erotic football. And that, like I just had to tip my hat to McElwain because, like, his play calls were so perfect. He was just schooling Butch. We know McElwain's going to school lame-ass Kirby Smart. And so I was just thinking to myself, when he gets his players in, because he's got another awesome quarterback committed right now, I'm like, this dude, this streak's going to go to 20 years. Like, we're not going to beat Florida forever. He's going to run the East. And I was just thinking to myself, how depressing that is to sit through 7 to 8 more years of this.
I had already gone into crisis mode. My Twitter was getting lit up from Florida fans, from Tennessee fans turning on me. And I just was going to bite the bullet of most Florida fans. I was just calling them brother a lot. They all kept asking me how the ass whipping tasted, and I was just like, "Well, it's not good." I was like, "It's not good, brother." And then they'd all kind of apologize and be like, "It's all good, man. Love the video. It was funny." But then there would be a couple that would come at me wrong. So I was balancing an act between being nice and falling on the sword and calling others fuckboys and challenging them to fights. There was one kid who tried to get, you know, was yapping at me. He'd sent me like 4 tweets in a row. He's like, "You know, how's it feel? And I was just like, "Well, I take solace in knowing the fact that you'll wake up tomorrow and still be a fuckboy, and I won't be."
I saw that.
And all he said back was, "Man, I was just talking about the game. You didn't have to make it personal."
No, screw that dude.
They were nowhere to be found. I love our text encounters during the game because we always get off to slow starts. We always look miserable. And this week, the only thing we talked about was how everyone in the world knew on 4th and goal that Kamara was going to run that quick out pass. And solace in the fact that it was not returned for an interception for a touchdown.
I sent that I got a text from you and all it was LMAO, laughing my ass off. I was like, "Yep, we're getting the shit beat out of us." And then, like, I went on that tirade about Jason Kroon, who ended up playing a really good game. And so, good for him. He stuck it out. I can't imagine how good it feels for people like him, LaTroy Lewis, and Danny O'Brien to have to put up with Derek Dooley's shit to now beating Florida. But I was so mad that we ran that play to him. I was like, how do you not run that play to Juwan Jennings? You know, the 4th down play, as soon as Kamara came in the game, if Seth Hughes, who didn't play a down of football in his life, knows what play is coming, Jeff Collins is over there on Florida's sideline laughing his ass off.
Like I said, I considered it a moral victory that it was not a pick six.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean,
I'm not one of these guys that thinks, "Hey, get under center. You have to get under center, go I formation." But please don't throw a fade route to Jason Kroon. And no offense to Jason Kroon. But 4 plays. You do the read option. Dobbs keeps it 1st down. Let Hurd take it the 2nd down. Do a quarterback power with Hurd lead blocking on 3rd down. Like, you're getting in 2 yards on one of those 3 plays.
Yeah. Well, see, I would like to see, just in general, UT go pistol.
Yeah.
Because I think that Hurd is definitely an I formation back, and like, we're not going to go under center. Okay, whatever. But pistol allows you a chance to have the best of both worlds. You're not under center, and Hurd can get downhill.
But only my thing is, I want Dobbs to run too, though. I want to have that option.
Yeah, I know.
And if he keeps it, I'm fine with that. Right.
But like you said, you know, you had 4 chances. If you line up from the 2 and get Hurd going downhill, like, it's better than doing a fade route to Kroon and then the rollout little Kamara where he just escapes and tries to
right.
get loose. Yeah, I mean, my whole thing with Kroom was like, I mean, what? Why is that play? Nobody on the offense has really deserves that call besides Malone and Jennings. And Jennings especially has a propensity to really go fight for the football. So take your chances with him in a one-on-one.
Juwan Jennings is my favorite Vol.
Yeah, he's a dog, dude.
He's number one. He's my guy.
Yeah.
The fact he beat somebody's ass before he even got on campus at some graduation party, I knew I was going to love him. He comes and immediately says he's okay with playing receiver, didn't care. Knocked somebody's head off on special teams his first game. I mean, the guy just gets it. He just gets it, and he burnt Jalen Tabor. He left him in his dust.
He wore
gator skin boots to the press conference.
Oh, that was amazing.
Juwan Jennings, John Reed's favorite player.
Yeah, you know, that Michael Felder dude was like, oh, Tabor didn't get burned. He slipped. And I'm watching the replay, and I'm like, the reason he slipped is because Jennings crossed his ass up.
It's the dumbest thing in the world. When somebody falls down on a basketball court, you don't say they slip. You say, no, they got their ankles broke. It was the exact same thing.
Yeah, it's like Jennings schooled him, you know, and like, okay, Tabor's a really good player. He doesn't need anybody to cape for him. We all know how good Jalen Tabor is. But you know who else is really good? Tennessee's wide receiver core. They're really, really damn good.
Hey, let's – we owe some apologies.
Oh, yeah.
We owe some apologies to Todd Kelly Jr. Played a great game.
He played awesome.
Personally, I like to think he listened to the podcast and word got back to him and we helped motivate him.
Yeah, I was completely wrong. He played amazing. He was flying over the field.
Big game Todd Kelly.
7 interceptions, I think, in his career now.
I know he had a couple against Oklahoma and Florida. That's all that matters. Big game Todd. Colton Jumper played awesome.
Colton Jumper.
There was a sad part in the second quarter where I looked up, and we had Dylan Bates and Colton Jumper out there, and I was like, where the hell did this go wrong?
Yeah, so –
But Bates wasn't a liability. He made a couple good plays too. And Jumper was a madman. Even before people – I mean, now the secret's out. You saw Pro Football Focus or whatever came out and graded him the highest on there. But just in the stadium, you could watch. He was lining up everybody. Like, he was taking control of the defense. There were many times he had the lineman shift where he wanted him to go. I mean, he played really, really well.
Yeah, so I thought he had one bad play, and that was the first touchdown – to the tight end in the back of the zone. He lost his man there.
He did.
But if he doesn't make that stop on third down, like Luke was talking about this on the way home, that if he doesn't make that stop on third down before we scored our first touchdown, like, we might not win the game. You know, like, if he does, like, him and Mosley had that huge stop, and then, like, that started it. Like, we got the ball back and scored immediately. You know, if we don't hold them to a 3-and-out and get the ball back and just do our thing, who knows what happens? Like, he changed the game.
I still can't believe they won.
I can't either.
21-0, 83-17 against Virginia Tech and Florida. After you're down 35-0, you come back, you outscore them 83-17.
And for sure, one of those touchdowns by Virginia Tech is garbage. And you could even say the other touchdown by Florida was garbage.
When you're down 3 scores with 7 minutes left, it's garbage time. So 83-3 is what Tennessee closed runs on in their biggest games.
It wasn't just Colton Jumper. Like, I don't know why, but McDowell was the last linebacker to come in for whatever reason. I don't know, even though he was the first against Appalachian State and he played really good. But Dylan Bates was not a liability. Gavin Bryant, when he was in, was flying all over the place. Kenny Bynum wasn't terrible. And then when McDowell finally came in, McDowell was really good. It was, I mean, two of Tennessee's best players are the linebackers. Both are NFL players, and both of them were out. And
have we got an update on Reese Maven?
Butch said he's going to play.
Well, he said he was going to play against Florida, and he got banged up pretty early. I mean,
he got banged up when Trey Taylor running back.
Yeah, is
he
going to?
He wouldn't rule out. He said Kirkland's running, so he's not going to rule out Kirkland playing either.
Be nice to have him back for the stretch run.
Yeah,
be nice.
But all of the backup linebackers did really well. I mean, you know, that's just good coaching. We out-coached Florida.
What were your thoughts on Austin Appleby coming out and saying the best team didn't win?
That's bullshit. That's bullshit. Tennessee, if Tennessee does not drop five passes and, like, doesn't lose its mind within the 10-yard line, they still beat the shit out of Florida. And we were up 38-21, and the game was about to end.
Yeah.
But we would have really, really, really beaten the shit out of them. I don't know how anybody watches that game and leaves saying Florida's better. Florida's not even in the same – Florida's not near as quality of a team as Tennessee. It's not even close.
My thoughts when I heard him say that were, okay, but – I mean, it's clear Tennessee's superstars made plays, and whatever you want to say, Josh Malone's a superstar now. I mean, yeah. he's a superstar in the SEC. He made a superstar play. Derek Barnett was the best player on the field. In the second half, he made plays and he dominated that second half. He completely stopped Florida's. He was collapsing Florida's offensive line by themselves. Juwan Jennings beats your best player for a touchdown. Your second best player, Marquez Callaway, takes two fair catches on the 2-yard line.
Antonio Callaway.
Sorry.
Yeah.
Who the hell's Marquez Callaway? Is that
he
somebody?
Plays for UT?
Okay, sorry. Who the hell is that? Who plays for UT? Who the hell is that?
He's a freshman wide receiver.
Okay, I know. I recognize the name. My bad. So Antonio Callaway takes two fair catches on the 2-yard line.
Well, you know.
And you got out coached by Mike DeBoer. Big Mike DeBoer was out here coaching circles around you.
Yeah, so we spotted them 18 points and beat the shit out of them in 30 minutes. Like, completely wiped the field with them. And they can talk about, like, I saw them saying if Luke Del Rio was here, they win. Why? Why would you think that? Look at what Bob Shoot does in the second half. Why on earth would you think you win? If Tennessee has Cam Sutton and Darren Kirkland and Jalen Reeves-Maven, then they beat the shit out of you even worse.
I mean, come on.
Tennessee had three NFL players out on defense and beat you like a stepchild. It wasn't
three
even close.
Probably at least top three rounds in the draft,
yeah.
Guys?
Yeah.
And you have Luke Del Rio out. Okay.
Yeah, y'all would have won.
Seems fair.
And so, like, forget about that, though. Can Mike DeBoer, even in the first half, the play calling wasn't the problem.
I thought Dobbs threw a couple of catchable passes, but not good passes. Like, I didn't think any of those passes, except the first one Wolf dropped, were quote-unquote good passes. Like, they all required adjustments. Granted, they should have been caught, but they weren't good passes. Like you
Malone,
said.
But Malone's got to catch that one.
He does.
And so does Wolf.
They do. That's fine. I get that. They're catchable balls. You need to catch them. But it's not like – I'm just saying it wasn't just the receivers. Dobbs was a little inaccurate. Yeah. They say he started 1-for-8. A couple of those were drops. But, I mean, DeBoer was calling plays, like you said. I mean, you know, there's
so many
open – whether or not it was Dobbs or the receivers, that's not my point. The point is they were open. Like, every one of them was open.
The point that we're arguing over is moot. The broader point is that Mike DeBoer was awesome, and for all the people, including myself, who said that, like, there was no extra plays and that they weren't saving something up for Florida, we just sucked. We were completely wrong because they did things that we hadn't seen. Lining Malone up as a running back was brilliant.
I told you, Mike DeBoer comes for the big games, baby. Did against Florida last year too. Somehow we mustered 28 points last year against Florida, or 27 points against Florida last year with a makeshift offensive line at the time.
Yeah, like
he's out there throwing wide receiver passes. Mike DeBoer locked himself in the coach's box 3 days early, and he started scheming, and he came out here with a perfect game plan.
Yeah, I mean, we did some things that were really damn awesome that we hadn't even come close. Like on the wheel route to Hurd, we ain't seen a play that pretty all year.
God,
you know,
God, I thought he was going to drop it just the way the way the game had been going.
But the play where Malone scored that last touchdown he had, or the only touchdown he had, I guess, you know, he tore up Duke Dawson all damn afternoon. He tore his ass up. And we put Malone at a running back and shifted him out, and he was lined up on Duke Dawson, and he just outran him. Like, it was, you know, it was perfectly schemed. It was perfectly executed. It was a perfect play. And it was just weird seeing Tennessee's wide receiver. It was weird seeing Tennessee have better athletes than Florida all over the field.
And it was a perfect pass by Dobbs. Hit him right in stride. That's what I was talking about. You know, if he throws it a little bit behind him, yeah, maybe he gets the first down. But he's not going to the house. Hit him right in stride. Malone just outran him. Perfect.
Yeah, DeBoard was awesome. Bob Shoup, it's like, I don't know what it is, but it's like as soon as Bob Shoup figures it out, whatever it is, it sometimes it takes him a quarter. This time it took him a half.
It wasn't. Well, actually, you know what his big adjustment was? I'm gonna take Justin Martin off the field. That's what we're gonna do.
Yeah,
Justin Martin. Yeah, I felt bad because we talked about how we wanted a personal foul penalty. The opening kickoff maybe wasn't the perfect time for that.
Maybe a little too soon.
Maybe a little too soon. Didn't even give. I wasn't even in my seat yet. I got in my seat after Florida had scored a touchdown.
Yeah, this woman that sits in front of me, my language, like I was a little. This might surprise you, but I was a little, you know, on edge before the game. And the game starts off, and he does that shit, and I had some colorful language, and she looks at me and just stares at me because I yelled it out. And I'm like, woman, like, turn around. There's nothing you can do. If I want to cuss, I can.
It's not against the law to cuss. That's what you should tell her. That's what you should tell her. It's not against the law to cuss, lady.
But there were some other things. I mean, like, you know, it's just like whatever it is. I don't know what it is because I don't know enough about football. But what I do know is that when he figures it out, the game is over. Like, they might as well call it then and give Tennessee the win because it's over. They're not going to score. Like, it's done. I don't know. I mean, that's why you hired him.
You hired him to get it done. He got it done. 83-3.
That's insane. It's so crazy. I wonder what they did all offseason to tell, like, because it's the exact, I mean, because I think deep down we were all afraid that, like, this team wasn't going to be any different than last year. They were older, they were better, they were stronger, but they were still going to fold mentally. But it's been the complete opposite of last year.
I think Bristol helped. I think if that's a road game, maybe it doesn't happen. You know, you fall down 14-0 early and it's a road game, you might not come back.
Yeah.
You still had 100,000 fans there cheering you on. Didn't really let that happen. You start getting, you know, you start playing well, and then you get some confidence that, hey, we can fall behind early. Like, I really think that helped. And I mean, and so far the best team on the schedule is Appalachian State. I mean, you fight a close one with them. I mean, Appalachian State clearly better than Florida. They only lost by 7 in overtime. So, you know, you get that big test out of the way early. You find that, hey, we're not – it's just
– winners find a way to win.
You just need a little positive reinforcement, buddy. You just need a little positive reinforcement. Yeah. You start recovering fumbles. You start winning these close games, and you don't think, hey, we're going to choke like we did last year.
Yeah, I mean, exactly.
It's the complete opposite. It's the complete opposite.
It's a snowball now. It's a snowball now. Like
You sound more excited.
Oh, I'm thrilled. I'm thrilled, dude. It's.
I mean, we're like, going to Atlanta, right? No doubt about it. We're going to Atlanta.
There's no doubt about that. But, like, just forget about that for a second. Like, we can beat every team on our schedule. Tell me why we can't. Like, a week ago, we thought we sucked.
You thought we sucked. I said we were going to win.
You said we were going to win.
I was out here telling the world we were going to win.
I'm
putting my reputation on the line, saying that the Vols are going to win, Seth. Like, while you were bitching and moaning, talking about how we're going to get our shit kicked in, I was out here holding it down for the Vols.
I've never been happier to be wrong, truly, truly. I'm not one of those people who hopes I'm right no matter what. I love the Vols too much. But, I mean, and
I hate to say I told you so, Seth Hughes, but I told you so.
And I'm happy you're right. I'm not some sheep. I'm not a sunshine pumper. But we looked like a top five team in the second half of that game. Am I not right?
You look like a playoff team. You look like a playoff team, and you come out feeling so much better. Now, granted, I'm a little worried, and it's like I said last week, Seth. You know, I thought we were going to beat Florida, and I'm worried about a letdown against Georgia. we're going to do another podcast later in the week talking about Georgia. But I do think my biggest concern is that you do get great performances from guys like Colton Jumper at home. I mean, that crowd, they had no choice but to win that game with the way the crowd was still in it.
Yeah.
Like, I mean, the way the crowd was rocking, the way Florida, I mean, it was, what, 6 minutes left in the fourth quarter before Florida even picked up a first down in the second half? I mean, you had no choice but to just come back and win.
Yeah. And I'm worried about that, too. I mean, we need one of the two back this weekend at linebacker. And it's obvious. Everybody knows that, like, we might can get away one more week with having a sluggish start because Georgia's really not good at all.
I don't think they are either.
They're pretty terrible. I'm going out on that limb and saying they're pretty bad. We can probably get a win one more time with a bad start.
I think we can get off to a bad start offensively. I don't think we can get off to a bad start defensively.
But in 12 days, like, there can be no bad start.
Is A&M legit? Know? I haven't watched them at all.
So I mean they looked good, but I mean it was nip and tuck. Arkansas's probably really not that good. Now the biggest
I don't think Arkansas is very good either. I mean, they've beaten TCU. That's where they're getting.
And I don't think TCU is that good.
I don't either. That's the problem with these damn preseason rankings, but we've already talked about that 10 times. It's stupid.
I don't think, like, my judgment from watching Arkansas was that they weren't good and that hiring John Chavis saved Kevin Sumlin's job. Because that defense flies around and, like, they're pretty good. They're pretty good. Now, obviously, Tennessee's weapons are a little step up than Arkansas.
Right.
But they're not as good as Ole Miss or Alabama. It's a winnable game. Like, I didn't watch that game and feel dread. Like, I watched that game and myself, well, Trevor Knight, he's better than what I really thought he was, but he's not great. Like, I don't know if you can really say they're for real yet. I mean, it's still September, and Kevin Sumlin always wins in September. So,
curious to see how they play against Georgia. Like you said, main key is I think you got to get one of those linebackers back. Like you pointed out, the depth played great at home, basically, you know, for three quarters. Got off to a slow start, but you do need one of those NFL players back.
Yeah, and now this offensive line that Georgia has is up there for the worst in the SEC.
And that means Derek Barnett's going to go crazy again.
And Shotel. I mean, we are talking about a team that had to throw it 55 times with a true freshman quarterback to have a chance to beat Missouri because they couldn't run the ball.
And now,
against
and
a defensive line.
And now, now Chubb's hurt.
Yeah, and he's not fully 100%. And Michelle's a great do-it-all player, but he's not an every-down back.
Are you going to the game?
I'm probably not. Probably not.
Why not?
Well, I'm hoping I can get LASIK surgery this week.
Are you a 70-year-old man?
No, but I'm tired of dealing with glasses and shit.
So you'd rather wear glasses, or you'd rather not wear glasses than to watch Tennessee move into the top 10, move to 5-0, 2-0 in the SEC, and take a stranglehold on the East.
Is that well, yes, John. That's definitely what I'm saying. I've been to Athens twice. It was miserable both times.
It's like a revenge tour, Seth Hughes. I know. 2016, a season about revenge.
Listen, I don't want to hear about road games.
A season about making it to Tampa.
I've been to tons and tons of road games. I don't think I'm going to win this week because I'm hoping I can get LASIK surgery.
Got to be ready for A&M.
And I will be at A&M.
Give me some more thoughts about Florida.
They suck. I mean, they don't suck.
I hate them. I hate them so much.
So as someone who has grown up in Alabama, the only 4 years of my life I haven't lived in Alabama were the four I went to Tennessee. Like, the Alabama game has always meant more to me, but I hate Florida more than Alabama now. Like, I hate their fans. Their fans are, like, if you lined up 10 Florida fans in a row, 9 of those 10 are pieces of shit. And you can't say that about any other fan base besides Florida. They're shitty people. I hate them. I hate them. They're trashy. They're white trash. They wear white K-Swiss and cargo shorts, have chin straps.
Jorts, not cargo shorts.
They wear both, dude. They suck. I hate them. You saw the people. You look. Take one look at the majority of those cretins that were tweeting at you, and look at them. Not a single one of them went to Florida.
They all have hair gel.
There's nothing worse than Florida fans in Tennessee. There's like, because those dudes, those people are just Florida fans because when they were growing up, Florida was winning. That's the only reason why.
Do you think Florida fans wake up today realizing that all they had left in their program was the streak, really? Like, do you think, because that was always their trump card to Tennessee fans.
Yeah.
I mean, they've not had, they won the East last year. But for the most part, they haven't been very good. They don't look like they're going to be good this year.
I mean, does it really matter? Like, winning the East was nice, but the way they finished the season.
You can't feel good about that. And then you got your shit kicked in by Alabama. I mean, that's cool. You beat a bad, Tennessee. Everyone knew that Tennessee was the best team in the East.
Yeah. You know, I mean, you win the East, it's awesome, but the guy who looks like he's going to be a multi-year starter and NFL draft pick gets kicked off. Then you get beat by Florida State. You're not even close to being as good as them. You get your brains beat in by Alabama, and then you just get hammered by Michigan on New Year's, and then you follow that up with a whole 9 months, 9.5 months, you've been saying
– that was basically all they talked about for 9 months was Tennessee.
And you just get – you get blown off the field. Like, you don't have the athletes. You get out-coached.
Players were crying in the locker room.
Yeah. You know, I mean, like, that, yeah, it's got to suck to be a Florida fan. And good, they deserve it. They can all go to hell.
Amen to that, Seth Hughes.
I hate them.
God, I felt miserable when it was 21-0.
Oh, shit.
I got caught stealing somebody's drink at the bar on Friday. That was the worst part of the weekend until we were down 21-0. My man came up, talked to me, said he loved the podcast, said he liked the videos. I didn't know whose it was. 5 minutes later, I see just a brand new whiskey and Coke sitting right there on the side of the pool table. And I just pick it up and start walking off. He's like, "Hey, bro, that's mine." I was exposed, Seth Hughes.
You were exposed.
I was exposed for the asshole that I am. But at least we won, and I'm still Tennessee's asshole. This train can keep rolling, baby. No one has to jump off the Reed's Ranch podcast bandwagon, Seth Hughes. Because this train's still rolling, and it's going to roll to Atlanta.
The Vols are undefeated.
Did you see the Tennessee State representative?
Get
kicked out for punching a Florida fan?
Did you, by chance, just scroll through his Twitter feed?
No, I didn't. Give me what was he talking about?
Well, he called some dude like a faggot or whatever, and said, "At least I don't look like you wearing lipstick with three other dudes." Like,
so this guy's just a psycho.
This guy's just a damn redneck who ran for public office, and I'm guessing that he ran for public office because he couldn't do anything else, and like his daddy knew somebody in Middle Tennessee or something. He's not some, like, you know, he's not like some politician, like, looking to make his way up into Tennessee.
He's getting labeled as a politician.
Yeah, I mean, he holds office, but it just feels...
He did hold office until he had apparently got expelled for 22 sexual encounters with women.
Well, it's just
They made him quit because he had been having too much sex, fondling too many women.
It was my personal feel from rolling through his Twitter account that he got into civic service because he couldn't do anything else.
Why are you putting him down? He's our super fed now.
Hey, good for him, man. He's a VFL. If anything, he makes me want to vote for him more.
I was going to say, his VFLness trumps his other personal problems.
Yeah, like, is that except, really going to...
Except that he wears headphones at the game.
He's one of those old men. Like, my dad used to do that shit when I was growing up.
You can't wear headphones to the game.
Yeah. I mean, I just don't understand. If we had John Ward, it would be one thing. But you really want to listen to headphones to Bob Kessling? Come on, man.
I bet Bob created magic, though, when Jennings hit Tabor with that stop and go.
Well, Tim Priest said, "Take that, Tabor." That was pretty good.
Take it, Tabor. Take that, Tabor is the new money.
That was pretty good.
Buddy, feels good to get this win.
It's just like, you know, that Florida game didn't define the season. But, like, if we didn't win it, we weren't going to do anything. Like, we didn't win it.
It defined the season if you lose.
Yeah, but, like, it's like now that you won, you can really do anything. Like, I've held back from saying that all along. But, like, you really can. We looked awesome.
We looked so bad in the first half. That was miserable. It was miserable. I made the trek at halftime to the concession stand to get a refill on my souvenir cup. And everyone is just there, just walking around like zombies, like, what the hell are we doing? Why are we still here? Why do we still care? And then just 30 short minutes of game time later, it was euphoria. Seth, when I was walking out of the stadium and I took my shirt off to cut that promo, you should have seen people's eyes light up. They felt alive again. Some people knew who I was and knew what I was doing, but I liked the people that didn't even know what I was doing. They just loved it anyways because they thought we were back. There were some old people near me that was like, yeah, man, you tell them. You tell them.
Don, that was an awesome video. It was an awesome video. So was the one you made on Friday. The Applebee's 2-for-20 line was amazing.
You know, I know
a million people have told you that.
You know how many assholes were like, oh, he's carving you up right now whenever he kept beating Justin Martin. By the way, a one-on-one deep ball is probably, what, the second easiest throw to make in the game?
Yeah.
I think it is. I think it's a pretty simple throw.
So, I mean, we're just going to, like, surely Saturday we just roll out with Mosley and Buchanan, right?
Yeah, you got
it. If you need an extra defensive back, it seemed to me like they were putting Foreman in at the end. Because Golden is the nickelback now.
Right.
So the sixth defensive back just put – Foreman's made some really good plays in his career.
I feel infinitely better about the secondary than I did this time last week.
Yep. Yeah, I mean
– Now that we know that Todd Kelly is good again.
Yeah. And
that, like, he's ready.
It makes such a big difference when Derek Barnett decides, like, he wants to be the best player in the game.
Derek Barnett and Juwan Jennings, two dogs. Two Tennessee boys getting it done. That's what I love. Go across the board. They're almost all Tennessee guys.
Yeah, that's probably the best part.
Juwan Jennings, Tennessee boy. Malone, Tennessee boy. Todd Kelly, Knoxville boy. I mean, the list goes on and on. Barnett.
Heard. So, are we, like, prepared to say that Chance Hall is just really good?
Yeah, he's the man.
Because I knew it was going to be a big help, but I didn't think it would change the whole line.
I don't want to complain. I don't want to end this on a negative tone. But why the hell, when you've got first and goal from the two, do you keep running to the left side? Especially after Jason Robertson had been banged up. Go to the right side.
Yeah, run behind. Hall and Jones are your bell cows of the offensive line.
Take Jalen Hurd. Make him a lead blocker on the right side since you don't want to have a fullback, and let Josh Dobbs run right behind him. Josh Dobbs still didn't want to run the ball the first half.
I know.
But hey, they did in the second half, and we looked like one of the best teams in the country.
Yep.
Some idiot on ESPN was like, oh, Vegas has caught up. Vegas is out on the Vols. They've caught up to them, too. They've only made them a 3-point favorite at Georgia. That's an improvement over where they were before the year when they were the most overhyped team in the country, according to those guys. It was a pick. Yeah. It was a pick in the preseason. Tennessee still has the 8th best odds to win the title. Tennessee's a top 8 team in Vegas, you idiot. You stupid idiot.
I was surprised. The line opened up at 4 and then went down to 2.5 in like an instant, right?
I never saw it at 2.5. I just saw it at 3.
Okay.
I saw it at 3.
What's it back up to now?
I just saw 3. I mean, 3 sounds good to me. I mean, that's where it should be.
Yeah.
It's an SEC road game after a huge win.
In a series that is always close.
Look, my boys are out still partying. They're still living it up, looking for women, feeling great. They need to refocus by like Thursday, but like right now, I'm not overly confident about the Georgia game. We'll talk about it later in the week, but I mean, they're college kids. They're not, you know, even professionals have lapses after big wins. And one more thing before we go, Seth. Do you feel like I'm an idiot for still thinking momentum doesn't exist? I got a lot of that.
I don't know, man. Like, it's definitely overplayed. I've never been one of those guys like you who's like, it doesn't exist.
Well, here's my defense is, where was the momentum after the muff punt? Like, we didn't capitalize on it. Shouldn't that have been a momentum play?
Well, I think more than
shouldn't
anything,
Florida have scored after they stopped us on fourth and goal? No, they ended up punting right after that. I mean, what the second half was one team's better than the other, and they kicked the shit out of them.
Yeah, that's what I was about to say. It felt to me more than anything that it more than anything, the second half was just about Tennessee's better than Florida.
Tennessee's better than Florida. There were 102,000 bloodthirsty lunatics, and Austin Appleby remembered that he wasn't good enough to play at Purdue. And like, Derek Barnett was eating his lunch. Nom, nom, nom.
It was more about the fact that Tennessee was so much better than Florida.
It wasn't a momentum. It wasn't momentum. It's just they kicked their ass.
Yeah. I mean, Tennessee is comfortably better than Florida. I don't know how anybody can make any other judgment on that game. Tennessee didn't win by fluke. Tennessee gave them 18 points and was up by 17 in garbage time. Tennessee whipped their ass up and down the field.
Nick Williams asked, would beating Alabama and moving to what, 6-0 be a better feeling than beating Florida?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think so too.
Because
everyone remembers being happier about beating Arkansas than beating Florida in 98, right?
Yeah.
I mean, I feel so too. Like, 'cause once you get past that stretch, you know that, hey, you can do something really special.
Yeah. I mean,
it's not like there's not a 9-game streak the other way too. So I mean, you're in a pretty big streak there too.
So if we're 5-0 going into that Alabama game, or 6-0 going into that Alabama game, and they're undefeated, which they will be, that's CBS is going to option that game to be at night. Peyton Manning is going to be legend of the game. I mean, it's going to be like an incredible atmosphere.
I don't even know if you have to be 6-0. I think you can be 5-1, honestly.
Yeah, if you're 5-1, if you're 5-1, yeah, you're right. But I'm just saying.
Yeah, you're setting the scene of what the question was. I get it. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
Everyone's undefeated. It's the biggest game of the year. It's the marquee game. Two top five teams, because Tennessee will have to be top five if they beat the hell out of Georgia
and
A&M.
It's all that. It's the two most prestigious SEC football programs of all time. You know, it's like there's so many storylines. You know, it would be winning that game would be really, really, really special.
Danny O'Brien saying we put the hose in their mouth.
That was amazing.
When I saw the quote, I was hoping he was talking about his penis, referring to them having to suck Tennessee's dick after that. But the quote about making them drown was pretty cool too.
Yeah, he's awesome.
I do wish it was about them giving oral sex to Tennessee, though, after they whipped that ass with 38 unanswered points.
Yeah, I really do. Like, I really can't imagine what it is like for those guys who played for Dooley for 1 year. I mean, it has to be the best feeling in the world.
Not only that, I mean, first 2 years of Butch weren't that good either. I mean,
yeah. Just the transfer, just the whole journey.
No, I know. They deserve it.
Yeah.
Good for them. Good for us. We deserve it.
Yeah, we do.
We do deserve it.
And that's why we deserve it, and that's why I'm going to talk shit to Florida fans for the next year. I'm not going to let them forget.
It's been 365 days since they beat us. They get so – they're so mad about it.
I know.
They're so mad.
I really, really, really hate that Andrew Spivey blocked me on Twitter.
He blocked me too.
He sucks.
Most of the Florida fans I can't find anymore. The problem, Seth, with going viral and being the voice of a generation is I can't go back through all my mentions and find all these idiot redneck Florida fans that talk shit to me for 3 months. I can't find them. My mentions won't load up enough because too many people want to talk to the boy, Seth.
Yeah.
But I'm going to find them. One day I'm going to track them down. Seth, appreciate it.
It was a pleasure as always.
Any final thoughts?
No, let's go beat the hell out of Georgia.
I hope you get LASIK surgery and can see it in 2020 vision, buddy.
I hope so too, buddy.
See you later.
See you.